December 5th, the earliest sunset. Stay with us.
Stardate is made possible through funding by the undergraduate students at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. It can be heard every night at midnight and every afternoon at 5:58 on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Stardate December 5th. For much of the United States, today marks the earliest sunset of the year. But today isn't the shortest day of the year. This year, that distinction goes to December 21st, which heralds the winter solstice. Although the sun sets earlier today than it will on the 21st, still there's more total daylight today than there will be then. The reason is that the sun sets earlier today, but it rises earlier than it will on the solstice, and so we have more actual daylight. The latest sunrise won't be on the day of the solstice either. For much of the United States, the latest sunrise won't come until around January 5th. The dates of earliest sunset and latest sunrise vary somewhat with latitude, but the sequence is always the same. The earliest sunset comes in early December. The shortest day is the solstice. Finally, we have the latest sunrise in early January. The dates are different because our clocks don't jibe precisely with the sun. The sun can get ahead or behind clock time, because Earth's orbit around the sun isn't a perfect circle, and because Earth tilts on its axis. If you checked, you'd find that sunrise and sunset times slip back and forth by a few minutes against our smoothly running clocks. So today isn't the shortest day of the year, but it may seem like it. Although we have a few more minutes of daylight today than we'll have on the solstice, the days do seem shorter now. The reason is that today is the earliest sunset, and most of us see the sunset, not the sunrise. Stardate is written by Deborah Bird and produced for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory. We're in Austin. Our zip is 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
About that time.
We're back just where we left you last week.
Yeah.
Are we? Same position and everything, haven't moved.
You're in the same chair, I'm in the same chair.
Actually, I think this is a different chair. I think somebody brought in a better one.
Oh.
One that doesn't squeak as much as yours.
That's true. Mine does squeak, doesn't it?
Well, the voice of Long Island.
We're here.
You're Mike Uhas.
You're Eric Corley.
And we're in for another 3 hours of sheer lunacy.
That's what that little pink card says in here, doesn't it?
It is a pink card, and it does say that.
Yeah, do you want me to read it?
I think people have had enough of it.
Yeah, that's true. Here it is.
Let them experience the real thing.
Join Mike Uhas and Eric Corley every Friday. Forget it. We don't want to hear it.
Every Friday?
Yeah.
People commit themselves to that kind of abuse? Well,
we do.
Look what we have in our hands.
Oh, yes.
Not many people have these, but you can always get them, of course.
The McDonald Observatory News.
That's right.
A popular level newsletter on astronomy.
From the world of Joel Block himself.
That's right.
And Stardate. All sorts of fascinating facts about the cosmos here on paper now.
That's great.
For instance, Jupiter has now fully extricated itself from the grip of morning twilight.
Whoa.
And is ready to preside over these ominous shufflings in Virgo. Big Jupe celebrates the Pioneer 10 flyby anniversary this month on December 3rd. And there are all sorts of celebration activities on Jupiter this month.
Hey, there's a picture of Deborah Bird.
You're kidding.
Five. We talked to her.
Let's see what she looks like.
She looks nice.
Yeah, she is nice looking. Unfortunately, nobody else can see her, so we shouldn't dwell on that too much. Unfortunately, there's no picture
of Joel Block.
Joel Block.
Too bad.
Do you have any interesting news in yours?
There must be.
What does it say about Saturn over there?
Saturn is now well-placed for observation in the morning sky, rising about 5 hours ahead of the sun. The rings are now inclined at a healthy 12-degree angle, and the telescopic viewing is guaranteed to be beautiful for the next 13 years.
13 years,
that's
huh?
What it say.
Lucky
that's what
13.
It say. Well, let's see. How about the December sky calendar? It's the 5th right now, right?
Right now it is the 5th.
There's nothing for the 5th. There's nothing to see. Well, it's cloudy out anyway.
It's not snowing in Stony Brook.
Is it snowing yet? No.
It's not snowing in Stony Brook. If it's snowing where you are, give us a call. Let us know. We want a snow update before anyone else gets it.
Area code
516-246-7901. All right. Now, the next thing in the December sky calendar comes on the 10th. That's when Mercury is at superior conjunction and the moon is at perigee. And if you don't know what those terms mean, you might as well just turn off the radio and go to sleep, because we're going to talk in nothing but scientific terms from now on, and you're going to feel totally
You know what happens
stupid.
On December 25th? Christmas Day, also birthday of Isaac Newton, 1642.
Is that so?
Sir Isaac Newton. In the culvert trench.
He's known for some famous sayings,
yes.
I know that much.
He sure is. Although the date of Jesus' birth was established by studies made in the 6th century, modern historians favor a date between 7 and 4 B.C. If, as some scholars believe, the Star of Bethlehem was a triple conjunction of Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, then the choice is late February 6 B.C. Another possibility is the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn on April 7th, 7 B.C. The latter date is also attractive because in the springtime, shepherds would have stayed in the fields at night to watch over newborn lambs. The same three planets are also shining nearby in today's morning sky.
How about that? And, you know, my birthday, which is December 16th.
Oh, I'll have to remember that.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said anything. Neptune is going to be at conjunction with the sun.
Gosh.
And Venus is going to be at its greatest brilliancy.
Okay, now what's that supposed to mean, Neptune at conjunction with the sun?
It's at conjunction with the sun. I think it means lined up, and it obviously means lined up in some way.
Well, how are you supposed to see Neptune if the sun, which is
Oh, you can't see it.
I see.
I think that means you can see it. Well, I might be wrong about all this.
I guess we should mention where the folks can get these, of course. We can get these from the University of Texas Department of Astronomy at Austin, Texas, zip 78712.
Yeah.
And just tell them that you listen to Stardate on WUSD.
Every day at midnight?
And every afternoon at 5:58.
You got me on that one.
Yes, I did.
Well, folks, we have a show for you tonight.
That's
this
for sure.
Morning.
We sure do.
We've got all sorts of weird and wacky and wonderful things.
Well,
we have
two people that just walked in, and one of them just tickled me, in fact.
On the air.
Yeah.
We don't need that kind of nonsense, do
it's
we?
It's better than ice cubes down the back.
We can arrange
down
for that.
Or down the front, yes. Yes, I'm sure you can arrange
we'll it. We'll have it arranged, no problem.
How about if we get into some Nils Lofgren, then?
Let's tell the folks what we have coming up. We have special things. First of all, the 2 o'clock album side tonight...
Will not be an album.
It will be. It's an album we don't have, though. It's so rare, but it's on tape. Now, I'm not going to say anything more at this point other than the fact that you're going to want to tape this one.
Yeah, so you can listen to it over and over again.
Because you're going to find that as you listen to it more and more, it does something to you. You remember it, and it sort of hits you in strange ways. And if you like weird stuff, by all means, tune in. This is why they call it non-commercial radio.
Yeah.
The 2 o'clock album side coming up at 2 o'clock, I think, if we're lucky this week.
No, it's the 7 o'clock album side coming up at 2 o'clock, right?
As I recall it, we seem to be doing the 2 o'clock album side at 2:12 more often than...
Area code 212, yeah, that's New York.
Yeah, we've been late, but we're going to try to run everything on time.
Yeah.
We also will be talking with the president of a corporation, speaking of all this astronomical stuff.
Oh, is this the corporation that'll name a star after you?
Yeah, you can have a star named after you. In fact, there was something in today's paper about that. We'll talk all about that in a little while.
What, in about maybe 20 minutes or so?
Sounds good to me.
You got an episode of the Tripods coming up?
Brand new one, as usual, and other little fun bits thrown in.
Yeah.
Plus, we'll be talking to some Long Islanders about some proposed changes on this beautiful island of ours.
Yeah, so don't go away.
Stay with us.
90.1 FM.
The voice of Long Island.
One more job out of here. One last time. So UK subs for you here.
Yeah.
On the Voice?
Of Long Island.
And Boz Skaggs with some help from his friends. Maybe not his friends. Who knows?
Some people who happen to be in the studio.
Yeah. Somehow managed to go over the air. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
12:22 on a Saturday morning, Friday night.
Yes. Well, how about if you do some talking and I will do the dialing?
Okay. Mike is going to call somebody up totally at random. Well, no, not totally at random. Actually, we picked this place out in the phone book. A 24-hour establishment out on the southern part of the eastern end, where they're proposing to build a brand new highway. What Governor Kerry says is a scenic highway. Let's see what some people out there have to think about it.
They answer the phone.
Good evening, 7-Eleven.
Hi, this is Mike Uhas from WUSB Radio in Stony Brook.
Yeah?
We're just doing a telephone survey to determine people's feelings of the new road that Governor Kerry has proposed for the Hampton areas.
It depends. Could you order the one that's going along the railroad tracks?
Well, whatever the scenic route that Governor Kerry proposed.
All right, well, this is 7-Eleven in Southampton.
Yes, I really...
Okay, but this isn't the 7-Eleven. I don't want to be mentioned, the 7-Eleven. I just want to tell you, me personally, it's a load of bullshit.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Well, that was very nice talking to you, sir.
Okay. Nothing Less Than Love from Sheila, album's Little Darling. Well, we'll be sampling the opinion of more Long Islanders later on the
Yeah.
Proposed highway. I'm using a delay system next time.
Yes.
That's true. If you could turn my mic down a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably better.
I chalk that up as a negative response to the highway.
Yeah,
I think. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's about the best quantifying comment we could use.
Okay, we are into a different phase of the program now at 1227.
What is that Celsius, by the way?
Celsius, it's, I don't know. No, it's 33 minutes to 1.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Celsius.
What is it like outside anyway? Is it cold?
7 degrees.
7 degrees, that's what, 43?
45, close to 2. Maybe 44 if you on the borderline.
Oh, I see. I get that.
Not snowing in Stony Brook, not snowing anywhere else that we know of. You folks up in Connecticut, is it snowing up there? Let us know.
516-246-7901.
And give us a call.
Even if you're up in Danbury.
Even if you're lying, we'll believe you, you know. So this could be an opportunity.
Yeah. Well, listen, do you want me to read this article while you're dialing?
Well, I'll dial while we're doing the other thing.
Okay.
What we're about to do now is talk to an interesting person somewhere in the country.
In the middle of the country.
It revolves around a Newsday article that appeared in today's paper.
Right.
And you have it in front of you.
You want me to read it to you?
Go ahead.
Well, this is directly out of today's Newsday and should be credited as such. The next time you wish upon a star, you can own it. At least that's the sales pitch of a Chicago-based company known as the International Star Registry that, for $30, will select one of the billions of stars out of the sky and name it after you or your loved ones. They'll even give you a map to locate it, and they'll record your name and star for posterity in a vault in Switzerland. To make it even more lasting, company officials say, the Canadian astronomer who created the registry will publish the world's 27th catalog of the stars next year, which he plans to copyright in the Library of Congress. There's certainly no more unique or lasting gift on the market today, says the company president, Phyllis Mosel. Mrs. Mosel said that the creator, Professor T. Harry Leith of York University in Toronto, researched the star systems and discovered that there are about 26 catalogs of the stars that have been recorded by astronomers over the centuries. Most of the stars are labeled by number, Mrs. Mosel said. Leith's catalog, she explained, will replace the numbers with names of the registry's customers. And though the catalog may never be used as a college text, she adds, it will be a valued document. A valid document lying claim to the twinkling masses light years away. Mrs. Mosley said that of the 400,000 stars that are easily seen through a low-powered microscope, I think they should have said telescope.
I think so, too.
That are easily seen through a low-powered telescope and will be put up for the naming, the company has already sold 25,000. Someone bought one for Princess Diana, Mrs. Mosley said. Three people bought a star for Barry Manilow.
Oh. I mean, there are three stars up there called Barry Manilow Star 1, Star 2, Star 3?
Apparently. Actress Victoria Principal bought one for her mother for Mother's Day. Our best customers are astronomers, and lots of ordinary people just ordering them because it's fun.
Fun.
Fun. Now, who
lots
are we going to speak
fun.
To?
We're going to speak to the president, who doesn't speak like the way you made her speak.
Oh, we will be speaking to Mrs. Mosley.
We'll be speaking to Phyllis Mosley. It's Moselle, according to Mosley.
Something like that.
We'll ask her that while we're talking to her, I guess. In Chicago, president of the International Star Registry, we'll be talking to her about, buying stars and how you go about doing things like that.
Sure. In the meantime, you can call us at 246-7901.
It's now the time of the program where we venture out into the billions and billions of life forms. On this giant spaceship. Called Earth. From this spaceship, we will take one sampling of life and examine it thoroughly and in depth. Where we will go and what we will find, nobody knows. But we can find out. And beware. Because sooner or later, we're gonna get you. On the Voice of Long Island.
Well, as you can tell, the phone is still ringing.
How much faith can you have in an organization that tells somebody to call them at a certain time and then doesn't pick up their phone?
Not much.
Would you buy a star from these people, folks?
I'm sure they can have some, they have some nice land to sell you down in the Everglades or something.
Let's just talk about it for a second. Buying a name on a star.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to know who gave these people the right to name stars. How do you get that right?
And we can't even find out because they're not going to answer our questions because they're not answering the phone.
We can ask all sorts of questions and we can just write down no comment for all of them.
That's true.
Like, is it true that this organization is actually a horrible type of ripoff for people? What do you have to say to that? Do you defend yourself at all? No comment.
No
Mike.
Comment.
Well, what can we say?
That's what we could say.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is the type of thing that happens now and then. Especially when you're dealing with people who name stars.
Yeah.
You look kind of crestfallen, Mike. You weren't planning on naming a star after yourself tonight, were you?
No, I wasn't. I was going to name it after... I was going to just name the star the Voice of Long Island.
Now, can you imagine how silly somebody would be? Hey, we just discovered life. Where? The ninth planet around the star, the Voice of Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
That's even worse than saying the ninth planet around the star, Barry Manilow III.
Well, hey, you know, everybody's pretty vain, you know.
Yeah. All sorts of silly names that you can give to stars. I don't think it's scientific, though. I don't think it means anything.
No, it doesn't.
And $30 is, First of all, if there are people who live around the star, they're going to object to the name you give it.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely won't be official.
Mm-hmm. But for us Earthlings, it'll be as official as
How long are we Earthlings going to stay Earthlings, though?
That's true, too.
We're going to grow up sooner or later.
Yeah.
But enough philosophy for now. We want to thank Miss Phyllis Moselle of the International Star Registry for talking with us.
That must have been, that was a you're welcome, by the way.
It was a pleasure on this slide, too. We found out just what this company is all about. Okay, our next part of the program is coming up immediately. I don't know what it is, though. But, it's a little song that Mike found.
Yeah.
By the Rolling Stones.
Of all people.
Well, well, well. Voice of Long Island with The Teardrop Explodes. Books. As long as we're talking about space and stuff like that, here's a song from David Bowie's New Changes 2 LP, Spaceman. I'm sorry, Starman.
Environmental Policy, Dr. Mildred Jefferson on Strategies Pursued by the Right to Life Movement, George McNamee on Laser and Particle Beam Weaponry, and Bob Gantz on Increasing Our Export Capabilities. Only some of the people that appear on this program.
All those people are on this program?
Well, no, they're not on this program, but they're on the occasional programs. I don't know who's going to be on the program we're going to listen to. They're short programs. There's a little blurb on the sheet they gave us here. It says, America is facing a time of renewal when old assumptions are challenged and new opportunities arise. After a decade of decline, The nation is rolling up its sleeves and getting back to work. To make sense of what is occurring, new information is needed and vital, and so are new sources of information. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but National Perspectives is a prime source of hard data for the 1980s. Already heard on the air from Maine to Alaska, it is provided free of charge to participating stations. Its weekly 10-minute radio programs furnish hard-hitting analysis by the National Perspectives staff, exclusive interviews with authors and columnists, and insightful commentary from the most prominent members of Congress.
Very interesting.
Whether it is a new economic breakthrough, a challenge to our social structure, a technological breakthrough, or the intricacies of foreign policy, National Perspectives will be there. National Perspectives is a production of National Perspectives Incorporated, an educational not-for-profit organization chartered under the laws of the state of New York. It operates primarily with voluntary donations, providing free programming to any station that requests it. Mike? Mike's not there anymore.
Hello?
Ah, there you are.
Sorry.
So, we're going to play one, maybe two of these programs, and we want, and we mean it this time, we want your comments on this, because this is important stuff.
Yeah.
They're talking about lives that affect us, they're talking about movements that affect us, and just everyday events. And there isn't a single person out there that isn't touched by this. So, we don't want to see any apathy. Well, we want to see something, you know, and we don't want to see nothing. That's what we want. That's what we don't want to see.
We don't want not to see nothing.
We want our phones to light up like a Christmas tree again.
Right.
They were doing that before. We want to see it one more time.
Right.
246-7901.
246-7901.
Is our telephone number. There they go already. Very nice. But wait until we play the program.
We should apologize, should we not, for the quality of this?
The quality of the tape itself is not very good, but to provide a sort of interesting background, we're going to put some music underneath it so that you'll be able to listen to the tape with a little bit more enjoyment, and so that you won't feel as if you won't notice the bad quality of the sound as much with this music. And the music's kind of appropriate to the things that they talk about. Again, this is a conservative radio program. And we want to hear what you think about it.
We sure do.
So we're going to play the first program we have for you. And do we have the music, Mike? Ah, there we go. And with this music underneath it, let us begin National Perspectives.
A weekly look at the people and the events which shape our American way of life. And now, our National Perspective host, Mike McKenney.
Earlier this year, the Supreme Court took a step which many observers believed set back the Reagan administration's efforts to curb OSHA excesses and the whole system of expensive business regulations that they see as damaging the economy. In a 5-3 decision, the court held that a formula which allowed textile firms to consider cost effectiveness in its regulations combating brown lung diseases among textile workers was invalid. The court ruled that safety was paramount, but some economists estimated that the decision would cost the industry $3 billion and would force many smaller firms out of business. Obviously, the decision had far more reaching implications than that of textiles. It will ripple out to all industry. Congressman Carol Campbell of Greenville, South Carolina, represents the largest textile manufacturing area in the world. As its representative, he must consider not only the interests of the firms themselves, but also of the health and safety of the men and women who work in the mills. Recently, he was interviewed in Washington concerning the court's decision.
What is your reaction to the Supreme Court ruling on the cotton dust standards? Well, I think it's a little early to determine exactly what the ruling will really mean. On the surface of it, it means it's going to cause a lot of expenditures by the textile industry. It could be detrimental and cause the shutdown of some plants. The other side of it is, of course, that it's upholding the safe working requirements for workers, something all of us want to see is safe working conditions. The Supreme Court basically ruled that a cost-benefit analysis, a test, was not required under the OSHA law, that reasonably feasible was the term they used, type tests were required, and that one had been employed in this situation, and therefore cost-benefit was not. But they didn't say cost-benefit was prohibited, so it will have limited impact on future decisions, I believe, and yet it can have a profound impact at this time. So we'll just have to determine as time goes along how great it is. The textile industry says it'll cost them $2.7 billion, cause the shutdown of many older plants, and OSHA says it won't cost that much. We'll just have to see who's right.
The business people are saying, the media is saying, that this is a landmark decision against the Reagan program.
No. That's over, you know, that is, in my opinion, a total distortion. It helps some of our great national correspondents if they'd read the decision instead of looking in the mirror and seeking wisdom. They need to look at what the court said. The court said that Congress had three options under this OSHA law. They could have said cost-benefit analysis tests are required, cost-benefit is prohibited, or a feasibility test is required. They chose feasibility. The feasibility test had been applied. It was applied by the secretary. And therefore, the court has said you can't go back now and require cost-benefit because the law doesn't call for that. Now, I don't think that that's going to be interpreted or should be interpreted in any way in stopping us from putting in cost-benefit tests in the future. So I think we have to recognize what the court really did here. And, of course, all of this will have to be sorted out down the way. But, you know, the wisdom of the ages doesn't emanate over national television.
We'll be right back with Professor Barry Paulson's comments after this message.
National Perspectives is brought to you as a public service of this station and of National Perspectives Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation dedicated to educating America on issues vital to its survival. If you are interested in assisting our work, please write to National Perspectives, Box 228, Amsterdam, New York, 12010. That's Box 228, Amsterdam, New York, 12010. And now, part two of today's National Perspectives.
Professor Barry Paulson of the University of Colorado at Boulder is a regular commentator on National Perspectives. Today, he offers his comments on OSHA, which he finds to be an award-winning agency.
For a number of years, Senator Proxmire has awarded the Golden Fleece Award to a government agency that has done the most to waste taxpayer dollars. We in the Rocky Mountain region have decided to present a similar award to the government agency that has shown the greatest ability to waste our taxpayer dollars in this region. We've chosen to call it the Prickly Sagebrush Award, with the admonition that the government agencies sit on it. Our award this month goes to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA in government parlance. Recently, OSHA introduced regulations requiring that employers maintain toilet facilities within a certain distance from the place of work for employees. As originally implemented, this rule would have required the construction of outhouses on every square mile in the Rocky Mountain region. One can envision outhouses extending off into the horizon in all directions like so many dominoes. While OSHA later rescinded such rules with reference to the ranching industry, this points out the absurdity of OSHA regulations. More problems emerge in OSHA's attempts to implement regulations. In the past, an OSHA bureaucrat could enter a business's premises without the owner's permission, inspect any operations he chose to inspect, and bring any action against the businessman that he chose. A Wyoming businessman challenged these OSHA inspections as a violation of his property rights. Now businessmen can refuse to admit an OSHA inspector unless he has a warrant to investigate a specific potential safety violation. But that victory for private property rights had to be fought all the way to the Supreme Court. Small businesses that must conform to OSHA's regulations often don't have the time and resources to even understand, let alone comply with the complex set of regulations issued by OSHA. This problem is exacerbated when regulations are written without taking into consideration the unique characteristics of each business in each region of the country. Indeed, it's impossible for OSHA to have enough information on each business in each region to design a workable set of rules such as those governing outhouses. The solution to this problem, of course, is for OSHA not to attempt to regulate outhouses or other broad areas of regulation where OSHA has neither the information nor expertise nor the resources to assure compliance with regulatory powers. In some areas, OSHA is exercising regulatory powers beyond that mandated by Congress. The architects of the Constitution foresaw the problems that would emerge from the delegation of power to agencies such as OSHA. They established the important provision for separation of powers between the legislature and executive branches of government, and the reservation of powers to states in order to circumvent that abuse of power. Unfortunately, these constitutional constraints on the abuse of power have been eroded over time. Those of us who live in the Rocky Mountain region must cope with regulations issued by a government agency that has little, if any, knowledge of the problems unique to this region. The abuse of such regulatory powers is a violation of our property rights guaranteed in the Constitution. We must begin to set limits on the arbitrary abuse of power by government agencies, and we must restore the constitutional limits on the delegation of such power to executive agencies by the legislature. Until such fundamental changes take place, our only recourse is to call your attention to the abuse of such power by OSHA.
This has been National Perspectives, Box 228, Amsterdam, New York, 12010. Thanks for listening. The opinions expressed on National Perspectives are not necessarily those of this station, nor of National Perspectives, Incorporated.
Yeah. Well, thanks for talking. We've been listening.
Yes. You tuned to WUSB in Stony Brook, New York?
102 a.m.
Right.
That's not a frequency. No, 102 in the morning.
I thought you were going to say 11794.
No, I wouldn't do that, would I?
I don't know.
Would I give the zip code out over the air without anything else? That was National Perspectives.
It sure was.
And we can see the exciting things that are confronting us these days. We want your opinions. We want your opinions.
Yes. The area code is 516-246-7901.
That's our phone number.
That's the whole area code.
That's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing.
Do you want to call another person now?
No, you will.
I can't reach the phone from
here. I'll dial it. You do all the talking this time.
Do you want to go on delay?
No, because we're going to call up an answering service.
Okay, I don't think they're going to go crazy like that other person did. But
no, they're usually pretty respectable.
Is this a 7 over here that you have? I hope it's
yeah.
A 7. Okay, because if it was a 9, it would definitely not be going where we want to go.
Right. So why don't you just tell them that we're calling up a locksmith?
We're calling up a locksmith. Exactly. Couldn't have put it better myself. We're calling up a locksmith.
I think I could have said that.
I think you just did. We're calling a locksmith on eastern Long Island, I believe the southern part of Long Island. Do you know what town this is exactly?
Hampton Bays.
We're calling to find out what these people think of the highway that's supposed to be built on the South Fork. Uh-oh.
Number you have reached.
Well, so much for that one. Okay, let's try this again later on.
Yeah, I think
we've got whammies against us tonight.
That's true.
That's definitely for sure.
I know a good number to call.
Oh, no.
You want to try that...
What?
Hang on, let me write this down. I'll get your opinion.
Just writing down something that I don't know. Oh, you want to play that weird message?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We believe in educating people. And sometimes we play things that you don't think exist. But they do. And we find them. It's our job. That's what we're here for. We find things that are strange, that no one's ever heard of before, and we spread the word. And this is one of them.
Not
a message on a telephone that you never thought you could have gotten.
Yeah, but sometimes our listeners help us out, too.
Listen.
527-2524 is a working number. Will you dial your call again, please? This is a recording. Will you dial again, please?
There.
You heard it here first.
And you won't know how to get that, folks. Because even the number that we dialed wasn't even that number, was it?
No, it wasn't.
That's weird.
It was completely different.
I don't know where that emanated from, what part of the country, but...
I think it was the southern part of the country.
It's a strange recording.
Something in Texas, I believe.
We have other strange recordings, other strange noises.
Mm-hmm.
And a strange album slot coming up at 2 o'clock.
That's right, so don't go away for that.
Get your tape recorders ready for that one.
Yeah.
You won't want to miss it, because we're not kidding. We're not kidding. This is one you're going to remember for years.
On
especially, end. Especially if you record it.
Right.
You'll play it back and keep listening. I've listened to it 3 times already, and it's stuck in my mind. I know what it sounds like now. It's a whole new trip for me. You know what I'm saying?
And I haven't even heard it yet.
Yeah, well, I want your opinion after we play it.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get my opinion. Say, we don't have any records or anything queued up.
Let's just let this Dubwise theme carry us out.
Aua.
Thank you. Are you easily intimidated? Do you feel you have to listen to anyone who has an authoritative voice? Well, it doesn't have to be that way. That's right. Now you too can possess one of the most valuable tools of today's society. Listen.
Some people say that nuclear power is dangerous. But what happens when you look at the facts? You'll find that 99 out of 100 people who say they are opposed to nuclear power plants have never actually been inside one. Now, can you trust the judgment of someone who obviously doesn't know what he's talking about?
How would you like to be able to talk with such an earnest and believable style of speaking? Well, you can, for just $19.95 an hour. We'll teach you how to talk like a professional. You can launch political propaganda and even make personal attacks.
David Wellenbaum, city controller for 19 years. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? But are you hearing the full story? Do you know, for instance, that David Wellenbaum bought his faithful secretary a $250 watch for her birthday? And in the same month, he turned around and got his wife a $17 necklace for their anniversary? It seems that Mr. Wellenbaum's values are a little reversed and perhaps immoral. Is this the kind of man you want to see reelected this fall?
You can talk up a storm wherever you go. With that kind of voice, people will believe anything you say. And you can use it in everyday life, too, as much as you like. Listen.
Yes, officer, I realize that over 40 people say they saw me run that red light and hit that kid on the bicycle. But did you ever stop to think how deceptive things sometimes are? For instance, why do the sun and moon seem bigger when they're rising or setting? For hundreds of years, people thought they actually were bigger. Yet today, people like you and me know better. It's simply a trick that our eyes play on us. Not unlike the trick that was just played on the eyes of those people.
Yes, you can practically get away with murder with a voice like that. And we're willing to teach you how to get one for only $19.95 an hour. Call up right now, 958-1234. You can have an authoritative voice in as little as 2 weeks. That's 958-1234. Don't delay. 958-1234. And remember, a firm voice is a good choice.
Did you ever stop to think how much money is taken from the pockets of people like you to support all of the crazy gimmicks going around today?
Hey!
In as little as 2 weeks, you too can have an authoritative voice. Doesn't that sound like a ripoff?
Hey!
Well, there is something you can do that will help wipe out such con artists. Contact your local consumer protection agency.
Fiddle Fever. Actually, that's what that is. That's not too a recent release on the Flying Fish label. Just before that, we heard from something from Steve Hackett, of all people. Coming up in a matter of less than 10 minutes, ready or not, the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families in their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. So that's coming your way real soon. And, so, you know, just like stay tuned. Keep it here on 90.1. If you have anything to say, 246-7901 is the number, area code 516. And any requests or however offbeat. We'll see if we can't get it on for you at one point or another. We got a very special album side coming up right after the news. The album side will start around 2 o'clock. So keep it here at 90.1 FM. Here's something from George Russell.
Thank you.
Well, you remember a few minutes ago I said the tripods are going to be coming up right shortly? Well, it looks like I've lied. Yeah, the tripods are coming up real shortly. And, let's see, Eric has something to say about that. Do you, Eric? Yeah, I guess Eric doesn't have anything to say about that. After all. In any event, the tripods, it will be coming up real shortly. Yes.
Ah, there I am. Okay. I forgot I had to switch another switch here.
Yeah.
Because if you don't switch the switch, it makes some sort of a weird noise.
Yeah, like that. That's the noise.
That's it. There's something wrong in here. But no, the tripods will be ready in about 5 minutes, I'd say.
Are you really sure about that?
That's an estimated guess, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. All right, well, how about if we just get into some more music then?
Okay, fine with me.
All right. Thank you.
Free Long Island, in arbitration with the Three Villains Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod family. The story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. This week, our scene switches back to next-door neighbor Charlie's house, where we find that Pop has just arrived at the front door, and we hear...
Hey, Mr. Tripod, you're back.
Yeah, how you doing, Charlie?
Gee, it's been such a while since I've seen you. Come on inside.
Yeah, thanks. I don't mind if I do.
You know, I was just thinking of you.
You were?
Yeah. Well, actually, about 25 minutes ago, I was wondering what became of you folks. Now, how was Big Bear City, anyway?
Well, it sure was nice seeing the old homestead again. Made me feel kind of sentimental, it did.
Huh?
Yeah, but Charlie, tell me something. Have you heard from Howard or Kathy at all?
No, I didn't, Mr. T. It's funny, I was expecting a postcard or something.
You know, I just checked our mailbox next door and there's nothing there. Except bills and some junk mail.
Well, you know what it might be.
What's that?
I've heard that the mail service over in France isn't all it could be. It's certainly not as good as it is over here in the U.S. of A. So if they sent us a postcard or something... Oh, it might take a few weeks, maybe even a couple of months to get here.
Yeah, you know, I once heard a story about how a friend of mine went to Yellowstone for his summer vacation. And, you know, he sent a postcard from there, and he got home before the postcard did.
That could happen here.
But it was really funny because it had a Big Bear City postmark, because I don't know if he went there or not, or if he just forgot to mail it.
Wow. That's something with the post, but in France, it's even worse.
Yeah.
You see, it's international mail service is awful.
Yeah, well, I just hope they're not wasting their time looking for that confounded statue.
Oh.
I heard Kathy say they weren't coming back until they found it.
That reminds me.
Yeah, knowing the two of them, they could be gone for years.
Mr. Tripod, I totally forgot to tell you and Howard and Kathy this the day you were all leaving.
What's that?
Well, remember the night Kathy broke the statue in my house?
Yeah.
Well, while I was cleaning up the pieces, do you know what I found?
What?
About $50,000 worth of diamonds, that's what.
$50,000 worth of diamonds? And you forgot to tell us?
Well, it was a really hectic day, Mr. Tripod. I barely had time to get them to the dock in time to catch their boat.
Sheesh.
And then I had to take you to the airport. That must have just slipped my mind.
Sometimes I think life itself slipped your mind, Charlie.
How's that?
Oh, never mind.
So anyway, I was able to build that extension on my house that I always wanted. And now I have three living rooms with a color TV set in each.
That sounds like something you'd do, all right.
Oh, sure. You see, I can only get three TV stations because my antenna's broken. So I just put a different channel on each set and walk around from room to room until I find a program I like.
But Charlie, how come our house looks so funny?
Oh, did you notice that?
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, I figured that since Kathy was the one who broke the statue in the first place, you folks were entitled to something. So I took the liberty of adding on to your home as well. I hope you don't mind.
Yeah, but what is that thing you added?
What is it? It's a boathouse. Haven't you ever seen one of those before?
Not on somebody's front lawn, I know that much. Hey, besides that, we don't even have a boat.
You have to plan for the future, Mr. Tripod. Everybody knows that.
Well, I don't know if Howard and Kathy are going to go along with that idea, Charlie. Anyway, what did you do with the rest of the money?
Oh, yes, I almost forgot. With all the money I had left over, I was able to buy a Bulgarian step van. Secondhand, of course.
You bought a Bulgarian truck? I'll tell you, Charlie, you're the most incredible chucklehead I've ever...
Well, what's wrong with that? Now I have a Bulgarian car and a Bulgarian truck. They're going to be rare commodities soon. Everybody knows that.
Can either one of them muster enough energy to roll out of your driveway?
Well, no, not yet, but I'm working on it. But I need your help, Mr. T.
My help?
Right. I've got to figure out some sort of a business where I can use that Bulgarian step van and make a huge profit at the same time. Do you have any suggestions?
A huge profit, huh? Let me think.
And so Charlie and Pop are a bit baffled by the disappearance of Howard and Kathy. But it's not getting in the way of Charlie's newest business enterprise. You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Pop say...
I've got an idea!
That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod family, presented in conjunction with... Radio Free Long Island and the Three Villains Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Bad to interrupt this music, but we have on our telephone line, live long distance, Brianna Bryant. Say hello, Brianna.
Hi, Brian.
She said hi.
Oh, rebellious to the end.
Isn't she clever?
Oh, hi, Mike. How you doing?
Pretty good. Eric.
I was going to do a pizzazzy for you.
Before you do that, Eric just wants to... Eric just wants to have somebody say hello to him, too.
Okay. Hello, Eric.
Oh, hi, Brianne. How are you?
Okay.
To the folks at home, you may recall Brianne O'Brien used to do Concert Billboard during the summer, during Joanne Summer's absence.
During the summer.
During Joanne Summer's absence. Yes, that's
during Joanne Summer's summer vacation. That's what we're trying to say.
Right, during Joanne's...
Well, we're going to get it for this later.
Well, she's not listening.
She's
anyway.
In New York City.
That's right.
That's right.
She can't be listening. She can't pick it. She told me she can't pick up USB where she
Somebody told me they picked us up loud and clear in Brooklyn one night.
Oh.
And someone else said in New York City, once in Philadelphia, once in West...
Yeah,
nobody cares.
That. I remember that in Philadelphia, and that's true.
Nobody really cares, though.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Brianne, you had to say hello to your mother or happy birthday or something?
That's right. My mom. Yep. That was her. It's her birthday Friday, and, well, it's Saturday now, but it was her birthday Friday, so happy birthday, Mom, and many happy more, and all that kind of great stuff.
So do you think she's listening?
Probably not. She's probably asleep.
Oh, well.
But I'll bet you just touched her in some way.
Oh, well, that's life, I suppose, right?
I mean, she's a sweet person, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of like her.
Yeah.
Well, if Brianne O'Brien's mother is out there, she can call us up and acknowledge the message.
Yeah.
And that way we'll have completed the...
The link. Well, in any event.
That's what we're here for.
Call up and talk to me, you know. They can do that.
Well, I guess your mom knows your number up there, right?
Yes, she does.
What, now, you are up in Oswego, no?
Yes, I am.
And you're going to school up there, huh?
Yes, I am.
Golly. You had to give up the big SB.
Big SB, you got it.
Yeah. Oh, well, Brianne, now, ladies and gentlemen, is a very artistic lady. She decorated our wall outside, and
she paints USB logos everywhere she goes. Isn't that right, Brianne?
Oh, that's right, Mike.
No, that's Eric.
There are some in Oswego, I hope.
Excuse me?
There are some USB logos in Oswego by now.
Oh, of course. I'm looking at one right now, as a matter of fact.
Ooh.
What is it, a bumper sticker on your wall or something?
A poster. I've got a genuine USB poster, radio, 309 90.1 FM in stereo.
Oh, how did you get your hands on one of those?
Excuse me?
You must have gotten that during Thanksgiving, because they only came out a couple of weeks ago.
I am very sharp, let me tell you.
Golly.
This is hot stuff. This is High Power Mania, and everybody should have a WUSB poster. Of course.
If you want one, just write to us or give us a call, and we'll be happy to send one out to you.
And
yeah.
One should have a WUSB bumper sticker and a WUSB t-shirt as well.
Gosh.
Oh, now that's over.
Yeah.
Sell your soul to USB.
Yes. Well, listen, you know, we have about three other things we have to do before the news, which comes on in 60 seconds. So we're going to have to cut this short.
Okay.
So, well, we'd like to thank you for calling us.
Oh, you're most certainly welcome.
And enjoy the cold up in Oswego.
Oh, yes, it is quite cold up here.
How cold is it?
We're expecting snow tonight.
Are you really?
Yes, about an inch or so.
Wow. Well... Enjoy it up there.
Oh, yes, I will.
And say hi to anybody else up there that might have been touched by USB at one point in their life or another.
Okay, you got it.
We'll see you when you come back.
Okay, in 2 weeks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She hasn't hung up yet. There we go. Oh.
Gee, that was a quiet hang-up.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to dial one of these numbers for you.
Okay.
And then I'll let you do the talking, and...
All right, fine.
All righty. So you can just explain to the ladies and gentlemen what we're doing.
All right, we are calling another place. We're going to really keep trying until we get somebody on Eastern Long Island to find out their opinion on the brand new highway that Governor Kerry has proposed to build between, I believe, Southampton and Amagansett. To allow more traffic to flow freer. Let's see what kind of response we can get.
Hey, we're calling up East Hampton right now.
Good evening, O'Malley's.
Yes, hi. This is Eric Corley from WUSB Radio. We're calling people up on the eastern end, and we're getting your responses over the air to the proposed highway out on the east end. We're wondering what your feelings were on it.
Well, I couldn't say, but I'll get the bike and talk to you.
Okay. He has no feelings of his own, eh? Understandable.
And who did he say he was going to talk to?
Hello.
Yes, hi. I'm calling from WUSB Radio, and we're trying to get a random sampling of people on the eastern end. Their feelings towards the proposed highway out there. What do you think about it?
Mixed emotions.
Excuse me?
I like it, but I think we should have did it 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
When everything was a little bit more inexpensive, and things were a little bit more feasible than they are right now.
What do you think the benefits of such a highway are?
I think it's for a guy who comes in out of the city like myself, I think it's great.
Now, how about it? Do you live out there?
I live out there. I live half here and half the city.
Uh-huh. Now, as a person living out there, what do you think about it?
It'd be a convenience, but I think it would be a little burden on the community.
Do you think it will help your restaurant at all?
I don't.
Oh, no?
No.
Why is that?
Because it's going to bypass Montauk Highway.
Ah.
We're on Montauk Highway.
Uh-huh.
Oh. All right, well, thank you very much for
sharing with us. You're very
welcome. Good night now.
Good night. Well, we're going to have a look at the latest news in just a few minutes. Meantime, here's some more music on WUSB.
Stony Brook, the voice
of Long Island.
Love.
Harrison Nixon to do now?
I'm okay alone, but you got something I need.
Oh, one of the best songs of the 70s, I think. Melanie and Brand New Key. And oh, that brings back such vivid memories of 1971. Doesn't it, Mike? Brings back memories for you, too, I bet.
Absolutely.
And Mike has just returned from his ride out. Let me tell the folks what they heard before that. While I was looking for Melanie, I found another record, this one by Melissa.
Melissa who?
It doesn't say. It just says Melissa.
Let me see.
We heard a song called Medicine Mixin. Mixin' Medicine, something like that. No, it just says songs written by Melissa, and mm-hmm. there's a picture of her. Very similar to Melanie. Extremely similar. Because on this album, it says guitar by Melanie. And things like that. You never saw that album before, did you?
I think I did. Oh. I've never played it, though.
Let me see if I can see what... Yeah, that came out in 1970. Interesting, going back to the early 70s here. And Bob Dylan up on top with Mozambique.
Ooh.
On
is that from Manila Thriller?
No, that's on Desire.
Close.
Yeah. How was your trip? Do you see anything interesting out there?
No.
How's the world?
Just fine.
Yeah?
Just fine.
Everyone hanging in there?
Yeah. Until 3 o'clock at least.
All right, 2:48 now. The voice of Long Island, Mike Uhas over there.
Eric Corley over there.
Over here, actually.
At the control tower.
True. We'll want to hear from you, actually, if anybody is still up and awake and conscious and all that.
They better be, because Rob Zeiser's coming in.
Yeah, 246-7901 is our telephone number. Here at the studios, now we have... I'm playing the wrong record here. You didn't get to hear any of our album side, did you, while you were out?
No, I didn't.
Car with no radio. Well, Rob Zeiser was impressed.
I heard the beginning part and I was impressed.
Yeah. Well, you have it on tape now. You can listen to it when you want to. I have it on tape now. Everybody has it on tape and we can all listen to it and enjoy it more.
Right.
Okay. We will be back, won't we?
Yes.
Your words were just an insult to her face. and sorrow through it all. When I thought I saw you, I really thought you were a wet dream come true. Now I know that you don't care about somebody else's nightmare.
Well, Eric, it's come to the end of our show.
2:57.
Oh, gosh.
We've done a lot tonight.
And we'll do more next week.
We tried to. Let's put it this way. We tried to do a lot tonight. I'm sorry that we weren't able to talk to the people who sell star names.
And I'm sorry.
Because they didn't answer the phone.
I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to talk to the people we wanted to talk to in Hamptons.
That's true, too.
But the one fellow, he was pretty interesting. He, with his restaurant, how he's going to be losing business by it.
Well, because it's in the wrong place, but he sounded like he was for it.
Yeah.
For convenience sake.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that in the future. And in the past.
Yeah.
Find out just how people feel about this.
Right. Well, listen, you know,
important people, non-important people, such as ourselves.
Right.
All sorts of other things. Well, we'll be talking to just about everybody else in the world sooner or later.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
That's right.
The voice of Long Island.
That's us. We'll be back again next week.
Yeah.
12:02.
Yeah.
I may be back Thursday. You may be back Tuesday.
I believe so.
Who knows? We'll talk to you then.
Okay, you're Mike Juhas.
And you're Eric Corley on a Friday night,
Saturday morning. Good night.
Bye.
Potato, potato, yeah.